Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's conference call regarding the presentation of the Q1 results 2021 of NFON AG. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Sabina Prüser. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome also from my side to our call. My name is Sabina Prüser. I am the Head of Investor Relations. Joining me today are Klaus von Rottkay, our CEO, and Petra Boss, our CFO. Klaus will present the financial results for the first quarter 2021. The presentation will last about 20 minutes. As always, there will be an opportunity to discuss your questions afterwards. With that, let me turn over the floor to Klaus.
Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to report the results of the first quarter of 2021. Before we do that, maybe just a quick recap of our high-level strategy as we've presented them at our Capital Markets Day about five weeks ago. Overall, our mission is to be the leading provider of voice-centric business communications in Europe. What we mean with that becomes a little bit clearer when we point out what our key differentiators are for that. It's to deliver really integrated business communications. We've seen that over the last, let's say, few years, especially months, the traditionally more separated and more disjunct areas of telephony, collaboration, and business applications have merged closer and closer together. We think that in the future, it will become important not only to offer a full unified communication as a service suite, but also complemented by open APIs that facilitate integration into business applications, into business processes, and support workflows within customers' companies. For that to become more intuitive and more seamless as the complexity is ever-increasing in the background, we focus on strong and easy user experience and will revamp the entire design of our applications and integrations to facilitate that and to be transparent when it comes to the complicated integration mechanics basically taking place under the hood. As we are a 100% channel-focused company, we want to focus and double-click on that strength and build that out further, both in terms of intelligence and especially in terms of quantity. For that, we have a simple three-step growth path laid out for the next few years. One, as I said, focusing clearly on these three differentiators and adjusting our product development and go-to-market efforts accordingly. On the product development side, it's not only about complementing the current offering, getting the platform more and more feature-rich to answer different needs and scenarios of customers, different customer sizes, and different customer industries, but also complement them and make the transition to other applications and other adjacent workloads more seamless and close. The last one is obviously to scale the partner network that we have. We are building out our infrastructure a lot to facilitate our partners' business with us to make them even more successful, betting their business on NFON. Obviously, we want to increase that in quantity quite a bit across the geographies that we operate in. For that, we've set ourselves some short-term milestones to see that we can get off to a good start towards the strategy. Some of these milestones are actually pretty ambitious, i.e., starting with ramping up our technical resources massively. We target actually an increase of more than 50% year-over-year until the end of 2021. You may know that we started an R&D site in Lisbon in September 2020, and that has been ramping nicely. Like, there are 20 senior developers on board by now, with, you know, a few more hires already signed and in the books for the next couple of coming months, which will be important to us. Second one is increasing marketing spend. Obviously, you know, we are, you know, very eager to come out of, you know, some of the pandemic, you know, lockdowns in the geographies we operate to make that productive, because obviously we don't want to spend, you know, when, you know, both our partners and customers are not, you know, working at full speed yet. So that's why, you know, it has been a little bit slow year to date, but we're still confident that we can double down on this and achieve a significant boost for especially the second half of the year. We also, you know, have taken, you know, like, want to take advantage of our platform having become ever more powerful. And, you know, it can easily also address larger customers. We, at the same time in the past, obviously, you know, want to focus on the SMB market because A, it's the biggest one. B, it's the one with the shortest sales cycles where customers have the least, you know, implementation hurdles. And obviously, we want to take advantage of our economies of scale, our platform, and shy away from doing any kind of individually tailored solutions to one large account. So no bespoke solutions. It's, you know, economies of scale. So, but, you know, for many smaller enterprise customers, you know, we, you know, basically the roughly estimate the size to about 5,000 seats that can often, you know, like, have all their essential business communication needs addressed by our platform is something that we, you know, want to increasingly address. We've done that in the past on a, you know, opportunistic base. But this is something that will grow over the next couple of years, especially in like 12 to 18 months. We'll be able to address a lot more customers than that. But since these customers also have large sales cycles, it's important to not large, long sales cycles. It's important to start this journey early. We have decided to intensify our activities in the Eastern European region, as this is something that's competitively a little bit underserved compared to the, you know, Northern or Western Europe. In fact, this month we have founded our subsidiary in Poland to increase our partner development there. So this is on the way. And last but not least, we are actively looking to enhance our technology portfolio, not only through developing it ourselves, but also through partnerships. And, you know, this is something we are in discussions with. There's nothing to announce to date, but we are focusing on this lever as well. With that, let me dive into the results of last quarter. So our recurring revenue growth was about 19.5% for the first quarter, which is, you know, in line with our expectations, and I, considering the circumstances of these times, you know, very respectable organic growth. Our seats grew by about 16% this quarter year over year, and our recurring revenues make up for about 89% of our total revenues. As usual, I would like to point out a little bit, you know, what the, you know, what that means in terms of split of recurring revenues versus non-recurring revenues. Obviously, you know, we are, you know, counting our revenues in terms of number of seats times, you know, the average revenue per seat, and that's made up through, you know, licensing of our solution, actual airtime, or, you know, premium solutions that, you know, are being sold basically on top of that socket that we count as like a PBX extension. And on non-recurring revenues, we have one component, which is hardware. And this is something that, you know, has, let's say, suffered quite a bit through the pandemic in terms of, you know, people buying less hardware and just, I would say, the headset is the new hardware. But this is traditionally obviously a low margin business, and this is something we do to complement and facilitate the solution on customer side, but not a strategic focus area for us. But getting activation fees for like new sales and especially professional services for more, you know, solution-centric, less transactional sales is also an important you know, part of our business, and this also counts towards non-recurring revenues. Let's go through the individual lines one by one. As I mentioned, seat growth was about 16%. At the same time, you may note that ARPU has increased quite substantially to above 10 euros now in Q1, which was definitely influenced by the lockdown. Just, you know, there was just higher use of airtime. Also, DTS business has developed positively. So this is not something we, you know, foresee to, you know, continue long term, but this is, you know, rather a positive side effect of the lockdown, which at the same time obviously always results in a little bit, you know, like restrained growth. So, you know, it's kind of like the positive sign long term. You know, we obviously strive for higher growth, and you know, ARPU's, you know, approximately stable over the, you know, the midterm average. Our recurring revenues grew by about 19.5%. As you can see, this is, you know, something would say like you know, completely in line with our expectation and in line with our guidance for the full year. It's a little bit higher than our guidance for the full year because you have this year-over-year effect, as Q1 2020 was you know, not really hampered that much by the lockdown. Just started mid of March when there were many last minute sales made, and obviously that is also reflected in the 12 months later in a year over year effect of the recurring revenues. Other than that, you know, it has increased steadily. Non-recurring revenues were, you know, somewhat stable, even declining a little bit, which is also consistent with the year-over-year comparison. And with Q2 of this year, we, for the first time, will have a clean year-over-year comparison, basically pandemic versus pandemic, and these effects will be less pronounced. Gross margin increased slightly to a little bit over 80%, which is due to the fact that, you know, cost of material stayed on absolute level in line with last year, while revenues increased, and, you know, increased airtime also contributed to that overall increase in gross margin, which has been steady over the last couple of years. We have a pretty constant personal cost ratio versus revenue, while we increased the overall headcount year over year by a little bit more than 10%, and which is something we would, you know, obviously will continue and trying to accelerate, especially when it comes to technical resources, where we feel that we need to double down also to, you know, uncover some of the additional layers of growth we still have in stock for the next couple of years on top of that, you know, fundamental transformation from on-premise to cloud PBX. I briefly mentioned already that marketing was still influenced in Q1 21 by the pandemic. And, you know, obviously we decided that we, you know, want to increase this massively, but first, you know, we have to revamp some of the partner programs we have. So we're working on new partner relationship management tool to actually accompany the and facilitate the partner journey with us from all the way from onboarding through training to pre-sales to quoting to activating seats and post-sales. And this is, a necessary effort, which, you know, will incorporate a lot of the learnings we've made over the last couple of years in different markets, and that we can scale and use then across all these markets. We'll also, you know, build it in a more flexible way to, you know, work with a wider range of partners. And we are, investing into, you know, like new and improved MDF programs that we have in place, and which is something that we'll see, you know, pick up at the, you know, end of Q2 again significantly, as we expect to, you know, with a doubling down on these go-to-market efforts in H2, will actually lead to significant growth, especially for the, you know, for the year to come then. Sales commission, I would say, stayed on the same level. There's nothing much, I would say, to explain on that. Our partner structure, you know, is not changing that drastically and short term. So this is, you know, in line with expectations. That was one too much. That results in an EBITDA in Q1 of 1.6 million. And with, you know, some adjustments, we arrive at, 1.8 million adjusted EBITDA for Q1, which, you know, is a little bit higher than we expect for the full year. As I said, like in terms of the investments, haven't fully taken place yet, but, you know, demonstrates well that, you know, like the business per se, you know, is intrinsically profitable, and only to accelerate growth further, you know, we invest aim to invest a little bit more heavily. Coming back to our guidance we gave at the publishing of the 2020 results, and which we'll confirm, that, you know, seat growth will be somewhere in the order of 15 to 17% for 21. Our recurring revenues we expect to grow at about 14 to 16%. The difference, you know, to the, you know, Q1 result here is obviously a year-over-year effect of the corona months of 2020, you know, Q2 forward, with lower business, new business sales back then reflected in, you know, lower recurring growth numbers this year. And the recurring revenues we, you know, foresee to be stably, you know, above the 85% range, also on the midterm, but we, you know, may not expect it to stay at this, you know, very very high level, but we are feeling that the shape of the business is actually very healthy on that kind, and we have, I would say, somewhat wiggle room on that side. Good. With that, let me summarize again why we think that Enfone is actually a great investment. Obviously, we have this underlying massive, you know, market disruption and the move to the cloud. I, you know, always point out that, you know, in our largest market in Germany, the cloud PBX penetration is at about 10%. And this is a journey. This is definitely taking place and going to happen. About the time scale, not everyone agrees, but it will happen over the next couple of years in a massive way. So this is, and we see the pandemic actually enabled, facilitated, and accelerated development not just to a simple migration to the cloud, but towards integrated business communications where telephony and IT converge more and more. This is a massive underlying market trend. We have a strong business model where our growth is actually also reflected then in sustainable recurring revenues for the years to come. We have a native cloud solution built in Germany and run through German centers that can easily scale to serve all of our European customers. We have a proven growth strategy and have additional layers to that growth, like, for example, upselling on the existing socket with premium solutions and adjacent workloads to the current telephony option. And we have a very strong channel partner base, which is somewhat unique because this has been traditionally our focus. And this is something that we know how it works. We will now improve further with the investments we've planned. This is obviously not only the basis, but also the opportunity and potential for further scalable growth. With that, I'd like to conclude and like move it over to the Q&A session. Operator can facilitate this, please.
Gladly, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open for questions. If you would like to raise a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press 9 and star a second time. We have first questions coming in. The very first one comes from Knut Woller from Baader Bank. Your line is open, please.
Yeah, thank you and good morning. A couple of questions, Klaus. First, looking at the investments, can you give us a better feeling how we should think about the investments in the coming quarters? Is that something where we should expect Q2 to see already the full run rate, or is it rather something where you would say that we will still see a ramp up with Q2 to a lesser extent and then in the second half being the investments in full steam? Then looking at the ARPU, which was clearly a positive surprise in the first quarter, has there been any change to ARPU in the second quarter so far, or is that relatively stable? The third question, you mentioned in earlier conference calls that the momentum, particularly in Southern Europe, suffered by the pandemic. Can you give us an update here? What you're seeing currently in the market, is here already an improvement becoming visible? And then secondly, on the seat growth, do you expect that your investments will already have a positive impact on seat growth also this year, or is that something where we should expect to see a better momentum in predominantly from 2022 on? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Knut. Let's try to take these one by one, and please correct me if I missed something. So I said, like, in terms of investments, when they're coming, you know, basically are going to be visible full on. As you said, like, I expect Q2 still to be a ramp-up quarter for the investments, both on the marketing, because I give an example on the marketing side, because we still have, you know, some infrastructural work to do before, you know, like putting the fuel to the fire, you know, makes complete sense. Otherwise, we would just, you know, invest into the existing model, but we'd, you know, rather, you know, wanted to tweak the model and then, you know, increase investments. So in the Q2, we'll still have, you know, ramp up. I expect H2 to be in full swing there. On the R&D side, basically as well, you know, we are hiring people, that takes a while. I also expect here H2 to be more, I would say, representative of, you know, our investment level. On the RPU level, it said, like, okay, this has been a positive surprise. Actually, this is not super plannable, I have to say, because the last, I'm talking the last couple percentage swings, because it really depends a little bit on lockdowns that we have. And that really has a significant effect, and this is something that the pandemic and the political response basically determines. So it's really hard to make predictions. I mean, obviously we don't, you know, have any numbers for Q2 to announce, but I would say if you look at the lockdown activities across Europe, you pretty much can infer, you know, what this means in, you know, like, let's say the swings in airtime a little bit up or down. And then you asked about Southern Europe. Actually, I would say Spain and Italy are still, you know, like have been still, you know, under a little bit more heavy influence of the pandemic. Although, you know, in Spain, actually, I think a week and a half ago now, I think they ended the state of emergency. So, you know, I expect here positive development soon, but it has been somewhat restrained. And then last one, seat growth, when we expect the impact on the seat growth, yes, this is definitely going to be, you know, more, you know, towards the end of the year and especially the following year that we see, you know, an uptake there.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Gustav Froberg from Berenberg. Please, your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking mine. Also, I have two, if I may. First one is just on the shape of growth that you expect for 2021. Clearly, Q1 saw very strong recurring revenue growth, and I was just wondering how you see that growth rate developing through the quarters this year. And then my second question is on marketing investments as well. I was wondering if you could give us a little bit more detail on how you're planning to approach the ramp-up in marketing for the latter half of this year. How important are your offline activities, for example, when it comes to marketing? Just a bit more color there to help us understand how you're approaching the market with your solution would be very helpful.
Okay, great. Thank you, Gustav. So in terms of the shape of growth for 2021, that really, I would say, as I said, is a little bit of a year-over-year effect of new business growth last quarters. Since I have been on board only for half a year, it's not something I, you know, intrinsically remember. But I'm looking a little bit towards Petra. But, you know, like I've been I would say that in Q2, we probably still at the beginning had, you know, a little bit more sales. You know, we went to lockdown, some customers frantically, you know, try to, you know, like get in position. Then I think when the lockdown, became longer, you know, many customers became very conservative as it became more serious. And then at the end of the year, it, you know, there was some additional clamping down. So if you always add 12 months to that, you know, I would expect that recurring revenue growth, especially, you know, slows in the middle of this year, and then probably becomes maybe a little bit higher again in the beginning of Q3 and lower again in Q4 something. But it's really, you know, a year-over-year impact and has nothing to do with actually the new business growth of this year, which is then, you know, a function of, you know, how it's going to continue a little bit. In terms of marketing investments, I did a little bit, I talked a little bit about it, but not that much. And you also, you know, want to know how much, you know, like, can you not scale online in like crazy, basically what you need, basically, why do you bother about, you know, the lockdown? That's a little bit how I interpret, and please correct me if I miss something. As I said, like, you know, we are, you know, have been reworking, you know, the partner program, have built, you know, the partner relation management system, which will actually launch only at the fall conference this year. We are developing a new MDF program, which we then, you know, can fuel. And this is mostly targeted, not us, like, investing in online marketing, but us enabling partners, you know, to invest in through partner and marketing activities and partner, you know, channel activities, attracting partners and then partners communicating that to customers and improving like the whole wholesale and distribution infrastructure and partner support. It's not, you know, not all that much about, let's say, online marketing. Obviously, is part of that, and that's like a steady flow of leads we're doing with that. But more, I would say, indirect momentum-oriented marketing investments, because just to give a very standard example, obviously we could, you know, buy more leads via SEA, you know, with diminishing economic returns. But this is kind of like a, you know, you it burns, you know, quickly and then it's gone. We rather would like to generate more fundamental momentum, and, you know, then also positively live from the inertia thereafter. And so we do more indirect partner-focused marketing, and this is obviously a little bit slower in this sense, but obviously will last longer, and that's our bet.
Thank you very much, very clear.
Thank you.
We have another question coming from Maurice Patrick from Barclays. Please, the floor is yours.
Yeah, hi there, guys. Thank you for taking the question and the useful presentation beforehand. Very helpful. Thank you. The question really is to do with your market shares in the different markets where you're operating. At the Capital Markets Day, you helpfully gave some data on sort of the various markets you operate and the market positioning. Just wondering if your market shares are shifting in the various markets where you are. Like, are you taking share or losing share in Germany? Are you taking share or losing share in, say, Spain or Italy? Just the different share shifts would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. And some of it cut out a little bit. I assume I caught the gist. Of it. Please correct me if I'm am answering it's not unsatisfactory manner. I understood you basically were wondering if our market shares are shifting in the different markets we operate. I would say not on a macroscopic level. Obviously, I think, but yeah, I think your question was less targeted towards Germany, Austria, UK, but more towards like the new markets we are entering. And there we are definitely growing above market average. But since we are very small, you know, I don't think it has a, you know, large macroscopic effect like on a quarterly level. That would be my assessment. But I also have to, you know, as a cautionary note, have to say like there are no official, you know, market share data that I could compare on a quarterly level. So this is more like a voice of the market that I'm repeating rather than being able to quote specific set of quantitative data.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, I understand there's generally a lack of market share data. So yes, any commentary you give is very helpful. And apologies for my phone cutting in and out. It's an IP phone, so it's a UK based. It's a UK based one though, so it's not an NFON issue. But in terms of the sort of the pricing environment that you're seeing in the markets, I mean, your ARPU seems to be, you know, going in the right direction, but stable at around €10. I mean, should we expect that ARPU is likely to remain flattish in the coming quarters ahead, or do you see scope for that to grow?
I think in the quarters ahead, I probably would say flattish. I think it's in the long term we even actually see opportunity, and you know, like I choose this word carefully, for the ARPU to go down slightly, because whereas we have, you know, some positive influence through higher airtime, we also have negative and that's in quotation marks influence of increasing business with wholesale partners. Wholesale partners sell at a lower ARPU to wholesale partners because they basically put it into, you know, a solution that they then sell to the customer, and we don't pay them commission. So, you know, basically less ARPU, more margin for us, or like maybe at the end of the day, it's, you know, similar margin, but the ARPU is lower. And this business has been increasing steadily. It's less of a, you know, like a quarter to quarter changes are obviously small, but since we're operating in some markets, like in the UK, for example, or increasingly in France, where wholesale is actually really strong, this has more of an impact. And also, I said, like, we are increasingly answering calls to serve larger customers, and those ARPUs also tend to be slightly lower. So I think there is possibility, you know, for that ARPU actually to go down a little bit, you know, basically making counteracting the increased airtimes, but this is more not going to be a long-term development. And as I said, this is, if so, it's additional business, like on the enterprise that we wouldn't have otherwise, or for the wholesale, it's basically has higher margins than it looks. So overall, I think it's positive, and the blended ARPU figure alone may not tell the whole story.
That's actually very helpful. I hadn't quite appreciated that fact. I mean, on the slide 15, where you talk about the dealers and distributors getting a percentage share of revenues per seat, that's different from the when you sell on wholesale. So, i.e.,
you
book, in the case of dealers and distributors, you book the full revenue and book the costs, but when it's wholesale, you just book the lower ARPU.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So, and presumably that's like what, 30% take rate, kind of ballpark. And I'm sure it's commercial, but that sort of order of magnitude, the wholesale ARPU is what, 20-30% lower than the retail.
I don't have an average number, but it's, you know, like, it sounds about right in terms of, you know, what you're referring to.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have a further question coming from Thomas Coudry from Bryan, Garnier & Co. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Thank you for the presentation. Could you provide us on an update on your, let's say, commercial discussions, whether directly with customers or with partners? I mean, that now that the pandemic has starting to fade out, vaccination is ramping up and stuff, and we pointed out that probably in 2020, a lot of, let's say, companies use some quick fixes type of solutions. They might be reconsidering, you know, more robust advanced solution like yours after the pandemic. So do you start to see this type of discussions, you know, evolving and some potential customers, you know, turning back to you and saying, starting reflecting on their long-term solutions again? So that was my main question. And in particular, do you see any specific traction in wholesale or not specifically versus the last quarters? And then just a quick follow-up on the ARPU discussion. So I understand that the good surprise in ARPU mainly comes from airtime component of ARPU, right? Not from the subscription type of ARPU. That was my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, great. A very good question. In fact, obviously, I don't have, I would say, statistically significant set of data for the customer discussions, but, you know, anecdotally, it actually really has happened increasingly that I'm being pinged by partner companies, even Microsoft in certain instances, they say, like, okay, there's a large partner who, you know, wants a telephony solution that works with Teams. This completely confirms, you know, basically your suspicion or knowledge that, you know, more and more partner customers that, you know, are getting used to a you know, like, a more steady business development post-pandemic, where, you know, you will not bring back 100% of the people, you know, to a mode of working as before, as we all know is not going to happen. So that has happened. I do not, you know, and I'm getting positive signals of certain markets where this, you know, has been somewhat pronounced. So this, you know, obviously is an encouraging sign. It could also be that, you know, just by our partnership with Microsoft Teams partners that, you know, that have become closer, that we see more of these opportunities, but this is definitely a trend that is taking place today in the market. I would guess and hope that this is going to become even stronger in the second half of the year, but this is definitely something that's happening. And Apologies for airtime, you asked me.
Traction wholesale.
Oh, on wholesales, you asked me like if we have more traction with wholesales. Yes, we do, but we looked at the numbers. They're not, you know, quarter to quarter, they're not super significant. I would say what's also interesting is that we, you know, work with partners on, I would say, more complex arrangements in terms of billing, where we can work with traditional IT partners. IT partners often have different, you know, shop solutions where they used to sell a number of licenses, but they cannot really bill for volume of airtime. So this is something, you know, they lack the capability. We, you know, are trying to help them by adapting our systems. And this is something we have on the roadmap, but this is something that takes at least half a year to implement individual solutions like that. But also, you know, these partners obviously have many, many, many sub-partners. You know, obviously these are bigger ones we work with. So this is more like a long-term development. So I think there is good traction, but I would say the impact of that is, you know, something that we'll see earliest by the end of the year and more likely 22 plus. And then you asked something about if it's mostly airtime, the component of the ARPU increase, and yes, it is. You know, as I said, like, you know, increasing wholesale would also be a negative, you know, effect, but it's small on the scale, so it's mostly lockdown impact on airtime.
Very clear. Thanks a lot.
We have one further question in the line, but first let me please repeat how to raise a question. If you would like to raise a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. And the next question comes from Knut Woller from Baader Bank. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. Just a quick follow-up on the ARPU clause. You mentioned the long-term expectation that the ARPU could be slightly down due to a higher share from wholesale partners, which is in line with your growth strategy to strengthen the channel. However, on the other hand, you also have the premium solutions, which are currently still very low in terms of penetration, which would partly offset lower ARPU from wholesalers. Can you share your ideas about the impact of the premium solutions on the ARPU, which I missed a bit in with regards to the comments made on the longer-term ARPU trend?
Yes, you're absolutely right. I actually bit my tongue a little bit on the premium solution part because I usually talk about that so much because I'm very enthusiastic about that. Implicitly, I did talk about it because that's, you know, the whole, you know, idea of, you know, select multiple layers of growth and doubling down on R&D now and technology partnerships. That's all, you know, say like 80% focused on increasing value-added solution sales on top of our sockets. But this is something that would definitely, you know, think about whatever, you know, 2 years plus then. So if you say like, if you are, you know, considering long-term ARPU trend also, you know, with a, you know, two-year horizon, yes, we will definitely have a positive effect from those solutions as well. And it's less of a, you know, right now it's short-term lockdown not, and, you know, wholesale might, you know, happen over like, you know, 3 or 6 months period. Premium solution sales is, you know, something that's a little bit more long-term, but yeah, then we'll definitely see an uptick of that. And, you know, we have some aggressive plans, i.e. we want to triple our premium solution sales over the next 3 years. You know, I think depending on how we go and, you know, if there, you know, might even be inorganic opportunities down the road, that could actually happen even faster.
Excellent. So we should think about ARPU relatively stable this year, then slight pressure on the back of the success of the wholesalers probably in 2022, and then the premium solutions offsetting that looking beyond 2022. Is that the right
way
to summarize it?
Yes, very well and concisely summarized. Thank you, Knut.
Thanks, Klaus.
The next question comes from Stefan Bayazian from Stifel. Please, your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. One question on gross margin, and I was wondering whether you are able to
provide any color on the future for the gross margin. First of all, is it fair to say that you have a higher gross margin than some of your peers in the industry because you are much more developing internally rather than, you know, for instance, licensing from Cisco BotSoft, for instance? And I was just wondering whether your investments are really about, you know, your own R&D and not about licensing some additional products elsewhere so that you are able to maintain high gross margins such as what we see here in the future. And my second question is just about the wholesale, just to follow up on that. Are you able to sort of split for us or give some rough indication of the split between the direct revenues and the non-direct revenues? Thank you.
Okay. Good. Your gross margin comment. Yes, it's true. I think that we have, well, for, you know, in our industry, we have pretty high gross margins. You also, you know, have to see, like, you know, the partner commissions come out for the dealers come out after that. I think that's just, you know, fair to point that out. It definitely makes a difference that, you know, our own solution is our own solution with our native cloud tech stack. Going forward, yes, it is our strategy to provide most of the technology, you know, like the core technology ourselves, but we also have some really successful partnerships already in operation now, like, you know, within this gross margin. And, it, you know, like we always, you know, do it on a case by case basis. What is better? Develop it ourselves, buy, or license? So, and I think there's no one size fits all answer. Obviously, you know, if it saves us time you know, to not develop it ourselves, we'll actually consider buying. And if it's, you know, more helpful quicker to actually license it, you know, keep options on that side, then, you know, we definitely will consider licensing, and we have some really interesting, well, we have, you know, good solutions now, and also interesting partner talks about licensing in the future. So I cannot really give like a generic one-size-fits-all answer there. Yes, I think that's probably it. And on the wholesale side, your question was like if we can split that out, which we do not.
Okay, that's fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Currently, we don't have any further questions. If you would like to raise a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. Let's give it a quick moment to see if there come any further questions in. There seem to be no further questions.
Okay, thank you. So then, dear ladies and gentlemen, may you have anywhere after this conference further questions or need more information following this conference call, please do not hesitate to contact me. For now, we would like to say goodbye. Thanks for attending our call today. We wish you a nice day. Stay healthy until next time. Bye-bye.